This is Tim Murdoch, and it's almost June. This is White Rabbit Radio Live for Friday. Hopefully, everyone is staying cool out there. It's going to get hot this weekend where I'm at, warmer. And we got a lot of stuff in the news, although this won't be a terribly, not one of these super long shows. We got some stuff to cover, and I'll be back Sunday. I may mix up the lineup for the summer. Next Wednesday, I'll be doing a paywall show. I might have an interview next Friday. I may not. And I may just do longer streams on Sunday and paywall streams on Wednesday. I might do something like that, an experiment. We're talking like 3:30 on a Sunday all the way to like 8:30, 9, something like that. Should be long enough to cover everything. Something along those lines. Something unique like that. We'll have to see, though. Let's see what they go. Who do we have here? I'm on YouTube. Let's see where all I'm at. So everything should be okay. I mean, everything looks to be running all right. I'm on a few different platforms here. We're on Odyssey. Look to be okay. We got Vengeance on Odyssey. Is that your favorite platform, Vengeance? We're live on X. That seems to be going okay. I don't think most people know I go live, but it's relatively new, at least on X. And we're live on YouTube. It looks like we're working okay across the board. I'm here while I'm working late on a Friday. There you go. Some jobs, you can listen to shows. Get all your shows listened to while you get paid by the man. The old intro song from Xerius. What is the old intro song? I think it's Amar Fadi. Amar Fadi H. You can look it up. It's all on YouTube and everything else. I think that's what you want. One of his great ones is Death to Traitors. I used to play all the time. I think I have it somewhere. Death to Traitors and Amar Fadi. That's what you're listening to, I think. He did one for me called Avenger, which I appreciate. But anyways, hopefully you guys are doing okay. I thought this was pretty wild. You know the controversy with Mr. Flavortown, Guy Fieri. Guy Fieri, wild diners, drive-ins, and dives conspiracy theory that completely changes the show. They're saying basically by analyzing glitches and various different segments, and he's done like years and years, thousands of shows, that when he's tasting all this particular food, he's most likely spitting the food out. He's not actually chewing it and swallowing it, or at least on a percentage of the shows. And so that's like kind of the diners, drive-ins, and dives conspiracy, you know. Center of a wild conspiracy theory with viewers suspecting that the TV chef may not actually be eating the food on his famed reality show. That would change things. Now, I don't know if it's true. He does take a lot of bites of food. Maybe he takes a couple bites, one bite of this, one bite of that. But, you know, there are famous ice cream testers. Famous being that they're employed to test ice creams that they have special spoons made out of gold, I believe, because it's better for their taste buds. And they'll take one taste of an ice cream to see if the batch is right and then spit it out, then rinse with water. So I think it's kind of interesting, you know. Mike Check used Death to Traitors last night as the intro. Yeah, that was my favorite old intro. It's a good song. I mean, I don't know how many times guys have used it, but it's good. Xerius is well worth playing. Ever since he made me Avenger, I play his stuff like Mandatory. I also play that song by Hyreth. You guys tend to like. Some guys don't like it, though. nice shirt, faggot. You don't like the shirt with the scorpions on it? Come on. So, but anyways. Viral Kool-Aid pineapple trend. Have you guys seen this? All these Kool-Aid pineapple. I've like watched. I've seen the clips go by, but I've only ever watched like so many seconds of one of just to see what the hell is about. This is an AI version. Kool-Aid candy cane pineapple spears. They're buying pineapple spears from, I want to say it's Sam's Club or something. Then they're making these Kool-Aid spears in the hood, and just what you need.
Hold up now. Y'all ain't seen these Kool-Aid candy pineapples. They got folks out here acting like straight crackheads over these things. Hey, boy, look at this thing. Everybody keep asking where I got it from. I done sold 3 jars in the gas station parking lot already. Let's go. Let me show y'all how this madness starts. All you need is pineapple spears, Kool-Aid packets, and enough sugar to make your ancestors nervous. They said use a cup of sugar. A cup? Baby, we ain't making vegetables. Dump the whole damn thing in there. All right, y'all, now watch this right here. This when the pineapple stop being fruit and start turning into a controlled substance. Oh, y'all thought we was done? Now, baby. Now we gotta coat it in crushed Jolly Ranchers and activate the diabetes crystals. Look at everybody out here. Whole neighborhood hooked on these radioactive pineapples.
Hold on a minute. I may have to do a search here. What's up, brother? Hold on here. Who do we got here? Sending money. Well, we got Iron Crow. What's up, Iron Crow? Amor Fati is the intro. It was Death to Traitors. Thanks. Ah. Yeah, Death to Traitors I have on a particular intro, and that was my old one I used for years and years. I think I still have it on the outro. I think I have Death to Traitors on the outro, to be honest with you. But Death to Traitors is a good one. There are many good. You can't go wrong with any of the Xerius tunes. But I always tell our guys to use more Xerius because he deserves it, you know. And guys like Xerius they could be mainstream, well-known artists, but they get banned all the time because they're politics. And one way to get it out there is for guys like us to use it and try to make it popular. People that hear that stuff are always asking, what is that? It's cool, you know. His music is great. Well, hold on. Let me look up how many videos are on this Kool-Aid pineapple. Okay. All right, they're taste testing. Oh, okay. We got all kinds of stuff. There's a lot going on here. Black online users are upset about viral Kool-Aid pineapple spears and spicy bowls trend. Okay, hold on.
News. I'm John. Necessary vitamins and health benefits that will keep you in good shape as we all get older. Black Americans' relationship with food has been one of survival, but also
survival
be seen as one of neglect for a variety of reasons. Now, across social media, two trends are upsetting many black online users as they watch other black people enjoy spicy bowls and Kool-Aid pineapples. Starting with spicy bowls, the trend reportedly started in Florida as a local snack where it featured a variety of ingredients like hard-boiled eggs, pickled sausages, jalapenos, and banana peppers drenched in hot sauce. For some who enjoy it, instead of using utensils, they traded in for a bag of Ruffles chips. Now, if that already sounds a bit much for your stomach, the latest rise of the trend is showing those same bowls are now being served on items other than plates. As mentioned, many black users who are conscious of what a habit of eating this type of food can cause are sounding off online.
I knew shit had went too far when y'all started ordering food off of Facebook Marketplace. I get y'all trying to help support black businesses and stuff, but this ain't the way. Especially if y'all out here ordering spicy bowls. But y'all ordering spicy bowls out of a motherfucking work boot. An industrial work boot.
And I saw someone say that all the customers of the spicy bowl queen of the internet, all the customers have a certain look. And I don't want to be that person. I really don't want to be that person. But like every single video, with like a few exceptions, all the customers do have a certain look. Like,
yeah, they're black. Hold on, let's go to the pineapple spears. I didn't even know about the spicy bowls. You guys know about the spicy
bowls? Now, as mentioned, spicy bowls aren't the only food item that is currently trending.
All right.
As a new trend takes a jar of pineapples and soaks them in Kool-Aid.
Out here in Pompano, got the viral pineapple Kool-Aid. Ooh. Ooh. This is a certified hood classic.
The bowl of diabetes for sure.
My new favorite shit.
It's shit, all right.
It's your third set, ain't it?
Yes, man. By now, we all should know that
they're charging them for like they're charging like $20 a jar for those.
That Kool-Aid itself contains a large amount of sugar, so for some to see it being added to a naturally sweet fruit like pineapple feels a bit overboard.
Black people, we really need to stop. I have scrolled past about 5 to 6 videos of those.
Okay, so we got diabetes. All right, here's an Asian food reviewer. Let's see what's up with this.
These Kool-Aid pineapples have been all over my feed. They're selling for $20 a pop. Let's make it at home.
Pineapples? Remove a spear to make a little bit of space. Let's add some Kool-Aid. Let's start with the cherry.
Got to get that red 40.
For this one, let's use blue lemonade.
And next, we're going to add some sugar.
Oh, my God.
I love the colors.
Marinate in the fridge.
All right, let's give it a shot. Let's pull one out. Ooh.
So I guess this is a popular Asian food reviewer.
Pineapples and cherries together make it taste like fruit punch.
All right, let's try the blue one.
Ooh. I'm going to try a little bit of the juice. Blah. Kool-Aid pineapple, one and done, justified.
All right, he's saying they're tasty. Crazy. Funny stuff. Of course, there are plenty of white trends involving food that's terrible for you. But blacks in America, Mexicans, and a whole section of the whites definitely have health issues from what they eat, you know? Unbelievable. Kool-Aid pineapple spears, and they're drinking that juice. Sam's has moved the pineapples to the front of the store because of this dumb shit. Is that true? I don't go to Sam's, so. Looks sweet enough to give you a headache. I do like pineapples, but it seems like too much to me. Too much. They're going in there buying just tons of them and coming out and selling them for $20 a piece. It's quite a business. I don't know how much they cost. How much do they cost, Kitty Waffy? Because if they're selling them for $20 a jar, got to be making something. Are they $10 a jar? $12? I mean, a packet of Kool-Aid is dirt cheap, I'm guessing, although I haven't bought one in years. Have I ever bought a packet of Kool-Aid? I don't know. So NBA commissioner announces plans to let AI take over for lazy referees. I've got a better idea. Why don't you just turn the NBA into all white AI? Better yet, white real players. But that's kind of funny. They're going to get rid of referees and they just go with AI. We're going to have AI and robotic referees. It's going to be hilarious. I don't watch the NBA. I haven't maybe in years and years and years and years. But I do support the move toward AI referees. It should be good stuff. No Kool-Aid in the UK? Oh, I'm sure you got similar shit. Although, you know, the UK has all kinds of different ingredients that we don't have and stuff like that. So, hard to say. It's pure profit when they buy it using EBT. I don't think you can use EBT at Sam's, or can you? They're buying those jars that Sam's Club on it, Maker's Mark or whatever it is at Sam's Club. Now, Maker's Mark is whiskey. What is Sam's brand, Sam's Club's brand? Member's Mark or something like that. But do they take EBT at Sam's? They buy pallets at a time? Yeah. Sure. Crazy. Buy pallets and they sell them $20 a jar. And soon they'll be selling them to white people too. They even give EBT people a discount on their membership. Really? At Sam's? I don't think there's any EBT cards at Costco. Wow. What do you guys think about AI referees? I support it. I support the move. I know. Hold on. Let's see what's going on here. We've got more pro-white AI. Is it any good? Let's see. Who is your enemy? Uh-oh. Morning class.
Good morning, class. Today we are going to list who the greatest enemies of the white race are. For number one, if you said the Jews, you would be wrong. The number one enemy to the white race is white traitors.
All right.
Now this may come as a shock to you, but think about it. The Jews are parasites. And who is enabling their parasitical behavior? Well, it is obviously the conservative gatekeepers. The white politicians who sold our country out. These American evangelicals who are pushing a warped Christianity. Not to mention all the white leftists and Marxists who push race blindness and degeneracy. Pull out your copy of the 88 Precepts by David Lane. Precept 27 states that hatred for other races is not constructive. But we must hate, with a pure and perfect hatred, those of our own race who commit treason. But a little hate towards other races isn't such a bad thing. Once we deal with the number one enemy, we can deal with the second, because we have no one to stop us. And then after that,
this is from Truth Nuke Media, who did the video the other day of Mudshark Chronicles or whatever it is.
All we have left are the muds. Easy peasy, total Aryan victory.
Intriguing. The traitor thing? A lot of friends would agree with that one. Traitors are a problem. Got to worry about your traitors. I didn't even know Erica Kirk was so based. These motorcycle crashes, I didn't realize motorcycle racing was such a thing. It's all over social media. They must be paying to promote it on social media. Don't be a party pooper, Vengeance. Come on now. I mean, that's one hell of a wreck. You'd think that would leave a mark or two. It's on the Isle of Man this weekend. Well, they sure are promoting it online. I don't remember it ever being this much on social media, so someone's got to be paying it. Or maybe they just have that many fans. I didn't know about it. Yeah, they wear heavy protection, but it's still, you have to feel that. It's getting across the pavement at however fast they're going. Peter Thiel flees Argentina. But you guys didn't know this. Yeah, hold on. I'm going to have to watch this video. This is Occidental Descent. And Peter Thiel flees to Argentina. Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent confirms the $250 bill with President Trump's face on it is already in the works. Oh, man. We're going to have to play that, too. Hold on here. But Peter Thiel bought, I want to say it's like a $14 million mansion in Buenos Aires. And Trump is just getting killed. His ratings are worse than ever. You probably already knew that. Hold on. Oh, is this Emily Yukis? Okay. All right, this is a clip. Let's see what he's doing. He's leaving the USA sinking ship, yeah.
Is this really how it all ends, Mr. Hotel?
It's not the end, JD. We can come back from this.
I don't know how much longer I can hold on, Mr. Till.
Just hold on, JD. It'll be okay.
Oh, Miss Stoutill. Miss Stoutill, I'm cold.
Peter Thiel and J.D. Vance.
Goodbye, Miss Stoutill.
Don't say goodbye! Don't you ever say goodbye, J.D.! I love you, Mr. Till. Hi.
Now, Peter won a... He was down there buying all his real estate, and he won a chess match, like a chess competition in Buenos Aires. Thought that was kind of interesting, but they're all moving out. A lot of other people moving into Patagonia. All these people buying real estate down in Argentina, buying things up. Fascinating. What do you guys think about it? Benjamin said 12 mil. That's what I think. 12, 14 million, something like that. Argentina is an interesting country, but the people running it are going to run it into the ground as usually. As usual. Yeah, Peter Thiel. Moving to Argentina, Trump is on a $250 bill. What do you guys think? It just gets worse. It just gets worse with this guy.
Dr. Benson. Yep. How long until we see your signature next to President Trump's face on a $250 bill?
Well, as Treasury Secretary, I have two mandates for U.S. currency. At present, no living person can be on U.S. currency, and the currency must say, "In God we trust." So right now, there is proposed legislation in front of the House, in front of the Senate, to change the first requirement so that a living person, Donald J. Trump, could be on the $250 bill. So it's all in the hands of the it's all in up on Capitol Hill.
Trump accounts, Trump phones, Trump $250 bills. Got a lot of Trumpflation. People are Trump saying he's bringing food prices down. He's not bringing food prices down. He's not doing anything. Oh man. Imagine having looking at Trump on some kind of, well, I'm not going to carry around $250 bills, but he's really pissing people off more so than usual with the uglification or the Trumpification, I guess, of the White House. White House before and after Trump images show the extent of destruction underway. It's just an enormous, this UFC event makes no sense whatsoever. I mean, here's the before. Right? This is the White House. And look at the size of that thing. And then you have this huge entire ballroom, which, you know, the ballroom's one of those situations where they've been talking about doing stuff like this on and off. So let's say the next president gets in. It's one of those situations where the next president gets in and will say, well, Trump was actually right to build a ballroom. He just went about it all wrong. Because, I mean, they have all kinds of, like, Pentagon meeting rooms underneath it, and hospitals underneath it. And they got all kinds of stuff going on at this quote-unquote ballroom. But the UFC thing, so you could make a case for some extension on the White House, whatever. And it goes deep underground, apparently. I'm guessing whoever gets elected next will make the excuse for the ballroom. The UFC event is another story. That is inexcusable. You know, yeah, there's problems. There's going to be problems with the budget of the ballroom, you know, but the fact of they might need another structure at the White House. You could make that case. They need to redo the East Wing, so on and so forth. I'm saying that the UFC event, you can't really make a case for the idiocy. You know, false flag incoming. I don't know. People yell false flag so much that when it happens, you know, they don't even believe it. MAGA melts down after music star ditches failing Trump event. Well, it's failing because no one wants to be associated with it. This is Martina McBride. She doesn't want to sing at the UFC event, and she's got MAGA all pissed off. But the fact of the matter is, it's the dumbest shit ever. $250 will buy lunch in the future. It may not. It's not good when they start printing larger denominations. Means inflation is going to be even worse. It's all fake, gay, and retarded. Well, it may just be fake and retarded. Trump's not exactly gay, but he could be. I guess you could be right. Bret Michaels pulled out too. Yeah, it's true. No one wants to be associated with it because it just looks like such a spectacle. And, I mean, why would you want to do anything for Trump? Why would you want to perform or do anything associated with this weirdo? I don't know. Pentagon recruiting troops to watch White House UFC fights memo show. Of course. I'm sure they'll get Kid Rock to perform. He always likes doing Trump stuff. And Kid Rock and Trump have something in common. They love blacks. He's not gay, but he's a faggot. Yeah, all right. All right. No one wants the stink of Trump on them. I think that's it. Could be right. You imagine being a soldier and being paid to go to this and you have to go for some reason or another. That would suck. A big, just a step up from having to go to war, but come on, no, just a step. Trump claims he's making food more affordable, but his examples ignore the big picture. There's no one that can make the claim that Trump's making things more affordable. He's not doing that at all. At all. And all the protests over these AI data centers, people are just completely pissed off. I hope Gavin Newsom tears down the ballroom and plants a botanical garden that's open to the public since no one will be trying to shoot him. Well, I don't know. A lot of crazies. You like Gavin Newsom, Vengeance? He's not going to tear down the ballroom. He's going to make it, he's going to Newsomize it. He's going to make it his own. Trump is turning the White House into a theme park. Good observation. True. This is pretty crazy. This is a dog you definitely don't want to pet. If you see, if you're in the Arctic or something, you see this what looks like a big white dog running towards you, you might want to run. Don't stop to pet this dog.
Yeah.
It's a large polar bear. Pretty good size. It shouldn't say large. It looks to be a good size one. One that'll kill a dude. He's got a gun. He drops his gun.
Holy shit.
Yeah. Damn, very brave guy.
Damn.
Yeah. Oh, no.
That bear could have caught him, actually.
Oh, shit, man.
Oh, he's taking him away.
Holy shit.
Bear just sits down, waiting for...
You want help on the snow scooter?
Yeah. Yeah, very brave guy.
Polar bears are straight-up killers when they want to be, that's for sure. Do they have to kill it now? I don't know. That dog don't play? I agree with that. The only bear that actively hunts humans? Yeah, they're pretty clever hunters. Seals. I think they'll go after walruses too, right? What else is in the Arctic that they can go after other than seals? Penguins? Anything you get a hold of and they will... It will hammer a human, no doubt about that. Big and dangerous. Dude got lucky because if that bear would have really charged him, he could have taken a swipe. Might have been the noise of that particular snowmobile. They eat whales. Yeah, there are. They feed on dead whales and anything they get their hands on, you know. They can. It's a protected species. Oh, they can't shoot them anymore. I think they can if they're a nuisance or if they're proved to be dangerous, right? You can in self-defense. That dude dropped his rifle after it had went off. It's crazy. Now, here's a white guy. White guy, of course, he's saving a baby deer. A fire captain jumped into rushing floodwaters to save a baby deer being swept downstream in Indiana. Now, who would do such a thing? Who would jump into...
Got a rope, Cap.
Got him?
Yeah,
come in.
Hey, help me pull.
Run. You good?
Hold on, hold on.
Hold it.
This is the whitest thing you'll see all night. There's no doubt about that. Grabbing a baby deer. At least he had a rope on him. He was smart. Small whales, walruses, seals, Eskimos. I wonder how many kill Eskimos and eat them. How often does that happen? Never see a black trying to save an animal? You guys are saying that on multiple different channels. What is that on Odyssey? Hard R and all. Okay. Funny stuff. But Tucker Carlson, moving on to white people, is talking about Nephilim. So we're going to look at this. And I want to watch a couple clips to see what he's getting on about. The biblical Nephilim. He has on some expert, supposedly an expert. I don't even know who this is. Father Stephen DeYoung. Okay. All right. What are the Nephilim? Let's watch a few minutes of this, see if it's any good. Human lifespan before the flood. We might want to watch a little bit of this. I'm going to put it on 1.25 because it is a little slow. I'll watch 30 seconds to see the speed. This guy's talking a little slow. So we'll put it at 1.25. And let's see here.
Thank you for doing this.
Yeah, absolutely.
I have read Genesis, like, you know, on and off most of my life. Never noticed the first part of chapter 6 with the Nephilim. Until about 4 years ago, someone mentioned it to me. And in the subsequent years, I must have had 25 conversations about the Nephilim. So it seemed worth talking to someone who understands exactly what the Nephilim are. What are the Nephilim? And am I pronouncing it correctly?
I mean, good enough. Yeah.
He's an Eastern Orthodox priest. It's kind of why I was interested. He didn't have on a Catholic preach.
I am at the end. The im is the plural in Hebrew.
Okay.
But there's a little bit of debate about where exactly the word comes from, because it's not a regularly used Hebrew word in the Hebrew Bible, which isn't all that odd either. There are a lot of words that are only used once in the Hebrew Bible. But people have tried to do different things with it. So there's a Hebrew verb nephal, which is the verb to fall. So some people have wanted to say, well, it's the fallen ones. But in Hebrew, Nephilim is reflexive, so it would be the ones who are fallen upon, which is a little more difficult. But it seems pretty clear. Most people agree now because there's an Aramaic word, Nephilim, that ends with an N, that just means giant. And so it seems pretty contextually clear that this is just the Hebrew form of that word, and this is talking about giants. It's translated in the Greek Old Testament with giantes in Greek, which is where we get the English word giant. But a lot of people, when they hear the word giant now, think fee-fi-fo-fum, right?
Yes.
That's not the core of the idea. So the word, all the words used for giant, not only refer to a tall person, but could also be used to mean a thug or a bully or a tyrant. And the example I use is, and you're old enough to remember this, when we went into Panama after Noriega, they're always referring to him as Panamanian strongman.
Yes, always.
Yes. And that wasn't talking about his awesome bench press.
No.
That was, you know, that he was a dictator, right?
Yes.
He was authoritarian. And so it's the same kind of idea, right? That it's characterizing these people as that sort of thuggish, brutish kind of character. And referring to them as tall or referring to them as giants is meant to symbolize and suggest that.
Okay.
So in Genesis, at the beginning of Genesis, at the beginning of the flood story, Genesis 6, we have to understand that the flood story is not a new story when Genesis is telling it. Right? This is, everyone had a flood story in the ancient Near East. So
that's true.
text of Genesis is not primarily claiming, oh, there was this flood. It's talking about the flood that the original audience all sort of knew had happened.
Yes.
And
which it did happen, I think.
Right. There is a historical event, right?
Yeah.
This is referring to. But you could have asked anybody from Greece to Mesopotamia to Egypt. They would have all agreed at that point that, yes, there was this advanced civilization. There was a flood that destroyed it. Current civilization is rebuilt after that.
Yes.
Now, the key, one of the key differences in Genesis 6, as you already have in those first four verses, is Genesis recasts what that civilization was like. So in the pagan sources, that pre-flood world was this golden age of, for the time, high technology, right? And technology in the ancient Near Eastern mind included magic. Magic was a sort of spiritual technology. And all of these things happened over the line. And that sort of losing that world was sort of this great tragedy.
And but everyone agreed it was a more advanced world than the world they lived in.
Yes. Yes. That there was knowledge there that had now been mostly lost.
Interesting.
And so you find the civilizations that grew up after that, and exhibit A of that is the original Babylonian Empire. So like Hammurabi's Babylonian Empire at the height of the Bronze Age. People don't understand how powerful the global structure was in the Bronze Age. It's called the Bronze Age because they were smelting bronze. They were getting the copper from Cyprus and the tin from what's now Afghanistan.
Well, that's quite a distance.
And bringing that together, smelt bronze.
In Iraq.
Yeah. And Hammurabi had a preference for a particular style of sandal from Crete, so he was importing those. There was sort of this global economy in the Bronze Age going on. And Hammurabi himself was from a group of people called the Amuru who took over Mesopotamia. Amuru means in Akkadian Westerners because they had come from what's now Syria. And those are the same people who are called Amorites in the Old Testament. We'll probably come back to them as we go forward. But Hammurabi and the other Babylonian emperors attributed their success and their ability to establish this empire to the fact that they had access to this secret wisdom from before the flood.
Do we have any sense how much earlier the flood took place? What's the timeline, roughly?
So Genesis doesn't really give us a time. There are people out there who want to like add up the years and the genealogies. That doesn't really work because different textual traditions have different.
I'll be honest with you. I'm not familiar with the Eastern Orthodox version of these particular stories. So I'm kind of intrigued. I know the Bible is a subject where everyone and everyone's uncle is a reported expert. You know, it's one of those type of things.
Numbers. There aren't numerals in Hebrew or Greek. And so you're using letters. To code numbers.
Yes.
And so numbers get a little slippery in translation and copying and things. So a lot of people will attribute it to the earth changes that happened at the end of the last ice age.
Yes.
So roughly 10,000 years ago. Yeah. Other people who are more literalists and want to add up those ages will say that it was more like six.
But from the geologic record, because there is record of a flood.
Yeah. And there are massive... I mean, there are villages at the bottom of the Black Sea from that period, 10,000 years ago.
There are
submerged. Yeah. The remains of villages. The glacial ice that melted created a lot of large body of waters that were not there.
Yes.
And sea levels rose a great deal.
So do we think the flood came from melting glaciers?
That's probably the historical event that's connected. To that.
Yes.
That when that ends, there's this massive shift right? And places where there used to be civilization are now underwater, literally.
Yeah, I might have an update that caused a sound problem.
Right. And so, all those changes happen, and there's this massive disruption.
So the villages currently at the bottom of the Black Sea were built during this golden age that preceded the flood.
Previous to that, yeah.
And do we believe, just as modern people?
Oh, it's only this clip? Interesting.
Well, that civilization was more technologically advanced than the ones that followed it?
I mean, if we're talking about, there is some evidence, sort of Bronze Age. I mean, you can't go completely Graham Hancock on this.
Yeah. That's actually exactly the question.
Yeah. And Graham Hancock, if you get into his stuff, he starts getting into some little New Agey crystal.
Right.
Psychic technology stuff. That's a little iffy. But
we know that
there was definitely, you look at places like Göbekli Tepe and these things, there was definitely a level that was reached. There was a collapse. There was another move forward. At the end of the Bronze Age, there's another collapse.
Yes.
Right. And then rebuilding after that.
I mean, but there are ancient structures, stone structures, so we can't radiocarbon date them, but we don't even now can't say how they were built, right? I mean, how would you?
Not exactly, yeah. Right? We don't know exactly. We don't know. Because there's no, we're dealing with pre-literacy.
Yes.
Right. So we're making conclusions and guesswork. You go to Göbekli Tepe, you see the carvings of animals, you see the way they had skulls displayed in certain ways. You know, we can do guesswork, but nobody left us a text to frame any of it.
Yes. You know what's really rare?
Okay, hold on here. Let's see. Advanced civilizations before the flood, was the human lifespan longer? All right, I want to hear what he has to say about here. You have the Sumerian kings list, the Egyptian kings list. We'll do the human lifespans before the flood. We'll see what they have to say. Are the Nephilim still among us? I'm curious to hear what he has to say there. I then will listen to the complete thing and see if there's anything better to clip out for particular.
You have Sumerian kings list. Other texts like this later that list the ages of the kings before the flood, and people tend to think that the ages of people in Genesis and the genealogies are kind of ridiculous, with people living to be 950. Sumerian kings list, you have people living hundreds of thousands of years in their list. So
hundreds of thousands of years.
Yes, Genesis is reserved, sort of in comparison.
What is that? Do you think?
A lot of that, so there's a little bit of a code to it, and this is true in Genesis also. So Babylonian mathematics was all base 60. Our math, we do base 10, right?
Yeah.
Decimal system. Theirs is base 60, and the survivors of that are our, we have 60 seconds in a minute, 60 minutes in an hour, right? 24 hours in a day. That's the leftover from sort of that Babylonian mathematics.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know we had Babylonian minutes.
So that base 60 math. And if you look at those ages as sets of 60, there are sort of certain things encoded about the different kings and the different generations that way. Nobody's totally cracked the code in Genesis, but to give you an example, in the Sumerian kings list, the seventh king in the list is the one who creates the solar calendar. Seventh person in the list. And if you look at Genesis and the Epistle of Jude, which is like a paragraph in the New Testament, he refers to Enoch as the seventh from Adam.
Yes.
If you go to Enoch in the genealogies of Seth in Genesis, he lives for 365 years. So you have the number of days right, in the solar calendar year as his age. He's the seventh person. The seventh person in the Sumerian kings list creates the solar calendar. So there are some sort of encoded connections going on with those numbers.
Is there any evidence that human lifespan was much longer at one point than it is now?
That's debated by a lot of people. Certainly not. I don't think anyone thinks in the thousands of years, right?
Yes.
And part of the difficulty with that is that people think that people hear life expectancy statistics, you know, like you hear that in at the beginning of the 20th century, the average life expectancy in the U.S. was 35, and people think, oh, people were living to 35 and then dying. It's like, well, no, a lot of people were dying. There's a high infant mortality rate.
Right.
There's a lot of people died before 35, but people who made it to 35, a lot of them, you know, made it to 100, 120.
Yeah.
So when you're doing kind of archaeology and stuff, yeah, you find a lot of young people because, you know, there's no antibiotics. There's no, right?
Right.
You have a very high infant mortality rate. It's hard to tell how long the truly elderly people were living. Right.
Yes.
I don't think anybody would frame that in the thousands of years.
Yes.
So it's more about them saying something about these people. And like I said, the seventh one has the solar calendar. All of them have, in the Sumerian kings list, have associated with them sort of the things that they discovered, but the discovery is always it was revealed to them by this spirit. Came and this divine spirit revealed to them this and that and the other. And it's technological things like metallurgy. It's ancient technological things like sorcery and divination. And it's things about the natural world like the solar calendar.
But the ancients believed that technological advances came to them from the spiritual realm.
Right. Right. That's where it's coming from.
Okay, hold on here. Let's move on. Are the Nephilim still among us? I want to hear what he has to say here. When Christ will return, we'll play that as well. Is Donald Jesus? Donald Trump Jesus?
The reason I was lingering on the creation of the Nephilim.
Yeah.
Is because it suggests this idea that sounds really radical when you first think about it, that there are hybrids, spirit-human together. But then as you talk about it a little bit, you realize that every culture has always believed this. In fact, Jesus is described as the union of God and a human woman. It's like, actually, it's a central concept everywhere all the time. Like, it's not shocking.
Yeah.
Right?
Not in a sexual way in that case. Yeah. Be clear. Yeah.
Right. Not in a sexual way. Right.
But yes. Yeah. Yeah.
This baby is the product of God's spirit and the human world.
Right. And Christ is the express image of God. Right. He is the fullness of the image.
Right. And the Greek myths tell different but related stories about people being. So why is it crazy? And I think people have, lived in the world for a while. Why is it crazy to someone have a feeling when you're talking to someone that this is not, that there's something else going on here? This person's not, does this still happen?
Yeah, I think.
I have felt that way really strongly about people in charge a couple of times. Not just I disagree with them, I think you're a bad person.
The Nephilim are running things.
It's not even that. It's like, what is this?
Yeah. Yeah, no, I have only kind of thankfully met a person like that once in my life. It was in a part of my pastoral training in a forensic psych ward. I met a person who had done, I won't describe what, because it's hideous and you won't be able to get it out of your head, but had done horrific things to a child, and that's how he ended up there.
Yes.
But who enjoyed bragging about it and describing it in detail to people and watching the look on their faces. Right.
Wow.
Like that level of
God. What's up, global
chat? So there are people like that. And
did you feel as you talked to this person or listened to this person that there was, this was not fully human or this was some kind of hybrid?
You could look in his eyes and see that there was something inhuman there.
I had that same experience with people. Not quite as cartoonish and obvious as that, but still like, what is this?
Yeah. Yeah.
So what is this?
It's, well, I mean, that's, so we would say in the church that to become like Christ, to be formed in the likeness of God is to become truly human. That's what it means to be human.
Yes.
And so to the degree which you go down the other road, you become something inhuman. St. John Chrysostom, in one of his homilies, is talking to... He's preaching in Constantinople to just regular people.
Fourth century.
Yeah. End of the fourth, beginning of the fifth. Yeah. And he says to his people, he says, so you believe that if someone dies a violent death, they become a demon. Right. So we kind of had that cultural idea too. Right. Somebody dies some kind of violent or horrible death. They come back as this vengeful ghost or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Murder victims haunt the house where they were killed.
Yeah. So they apparently had that kind of idea too. And he says, that's incorrect. He says, it is people who live like demons who become demons. So
kind of makes sense, I guess, in a way. Maybe. Let's see what this is about here. When will Christ return? I want to hear what he has to say about this.
Well, I mean, everywhere in this is true in Second Temple Jewish literature, but it's true in the New Testament. When they're talking about the end, right? The end of the world, Christ's glorious appearing, right? When that ends, it's always compared to the days of Noah.
Yeah.
Right? It's always referred to as, and when St. Peter responds with, why is he taking so long to return? right? With all the suffering and all the evil in the world. St. Peter's answer is that God is being patient and giving time, the maximal time for repentance. But the world has reached a point and can and will reach a point again where no one's interested in that opportunity anymore. Right? And that's when the end will come because there's no point in delaying it at that point. But I think it's important that people understand that the way salvation, even in Christian circles, gets talked about a lot is it's salvation from the world. Right? And I don't want someone to take from this conversation that, oh, okay, well, you know, I could die and go to heaven and get away from all this. Yeah, the world's going to hell.
The great escape.
But the salvation begins here, right? You can be saved from that now. That sort of spectrum of sin we talked about, right? You don't have to ride it all the way to the end. You can be set free from it at any point, right? That slavery. In this world, this is the purpose of Christ's church, right, is to offer the other answer, right, the other way, the way toward becoming truly human, being set free from that.
Yeah, we would never know for sure what the truth is because there's so many different versions until something bigger in nature shows up. And until that morning... Tucker's going to keep talking about this, but of course it is a subject that is big online, that's for damn sure. Let's keep going. We've got other news to cover, and then I'll be going off a little bit early tonight. I'll be on probably with a longer show on Sunday. Looks like I may do longer shows on Sunday, and then paywall shows on Wednesday, and let that be it for the summer, maybe. Try that out. Something along those lines. Take a little bit of a break. Let me see what I got here. I got an archive. Trump's trying to get some kind of deal with Iran, and I have a feeling that that deal with Iran is just a stall, some type of stalling, till they figure out how to crack the Iran nut. You know? You're so ready for the Terran Empire? Never heard of that one. The white galactic white power empire. Poland dismisses Russia's warning over U.S. troop deployment. So, a lot is going on in Europe today. There was a Russian drone attack, supposedly Russian, in Romania that wounded some civilians. And the Russians are saying something different. They're saying it was Ukrainian drone. And we'll listen to Putin here. Let me read this first. She didn't go to Romania, didn't investigate, didn't look at the remnants. Putin to von der Leyen's remarks about the drone incident in Romania. Ukrainian drones enter Finnish airspace, Polish airspace, and Baltic countries' airspace. Putin emphasized that on so many occasions in the past, the West was quick to blame Russia for drone incursions, only to later discover that the drones were in fact Ukrainian. They're saying it's not theirs. But they're talking about as well, what you're going to see is Romania invoking Article 4 of NATO, which I can see some kind of incident where Article 4 of NATO gets invoked. See what Putin has to say. I'll try to read it to you.
Someone told me just before I entered here, a drone entered the Romanian airspace.
I don't know what drone.
So please tell me what's the information in the media now. A drone hit a residential building in Romania. And they say it's a Russian drone. Who says that it's a Russian drone? Many people. Many people means no one. Precisely who? Names. Ursula von der Leyen. Well, she didn't go to Romania. She didn't investigate. She didn't look at the remnants of the drone. No one can say where a flying vehicle came from before they run a forensic analysis because some drones, Ukrainian drones, enter Finnish airspace, Polish airspace, the Baltic countries' airspace.
Basically saying that they haven't done any forensics on the drone yet. She's just jumping to conclusions.
Ukrainian drones do that. And the first reaction was exactly the same like they have now in Romania. Russians are hitting us, they were saying. And then they found out that these drones had nothing to do with Russia. Russia had nothing to do with these drones. They came from Ukraine.
Okay, this is Vladimir Putin. Yeah, historically, there's a lot of drones being tossed around by Ukraine and Russia, to be honest with you. So anything goes, but it could be Ukraine. It could also have been Russia going off on another angle. You know, you start firing that many missiles and drones, are bound to go into other different places. But everyone's screaming Ukrainian false flag to try to get us into a bigger war. Putin alleges drone that struck Romanian apartment building could have been Ukrainian. We'll have to see the forensics. We're not going to be jumping into world war without some kind of evidence, I would imagine. This is the actual update on Iran. Trump leaves Situation Room without decision on Iran deal. The deal is basically still in limbo. I think they'll do some kind of extension on the ceasefire, whether it be 60 or 90 days, until they get a plan together to go at it again. Of course, some people think they're just going to go at it right now. I think that they're going to do some kind of rebuilding, do some kind of deal on a ceasefire, and then try to attack them again another way. They're trying to figure out economic ways to attack them, cyber warfare, maybe even genetic warfare, meaning some type of bioweapon. This is Hegseth, and cheese alert. This is very, very cheesy. This is not good.
And when you do your job, the adversaries know what's coming for them. And that's when they either step up and meet the...
This is the department, head of the Department of War, with his wife. We're working out with, I think these are Marines.
Fury of the American military, or back down, and you create a whole bunch of options for America and the president of what he wants to execute on behalf of the American people. So right now, hey, Iran has a choice. Meet at the table with the president and give up their nuclear program. And as the president said, I'm lost on time, 2 days ago now, in the cabinet meeting, I'm sitting right next to him. He looks in the camera and says, well, Iran can either do it the right way with a deal across the table, or they can deal with my guy on the left. That happened to be me. But it's not me, it's you guys. Yeah. It's what you're ready to do. It's what the... And when you do your job...
Don't jump and join the Marines or any other armed forces. Yeah, Russia's an empire, and empires tend to use foreign troops. This is a problem across the board. It's a problem with the U.S. in a variety of different ways. It's a problem with Russia. It's all problematic for me. So, but anyways... You guys are Fed posting old quotes from Jews? It happens. This was on Iranian TV. This is a pundit, regime pundit, insider, and I don't know if this is in English, but they do have the captions up, said that the era of nuclear bombs had passed, arguing that cyber and biological warfare can inflict major damage while allowing attackers to avoid responsibility. Imagine if they did some kind of bioweapon attack on Israel, or vice versa, which they're gearing up for something. You know, we haven't seen the final show yet. Are they going to move to Russia and back to China? It's hard to say what the empire is going to do. I don't think the empire can afford a real war. I think that's the lesson of Iran. But they will try to attack them other ways. And there's more than one way to mess around with the war, right? You don't have to go in there in some type of conventional. Biowarfare can replace nukes with deniability. Wonder what type of biowarfare would do that, though. Someone would have to know.
بمب هسته‌ای رو بزنی مسئولیت برات میاره همین میفهمم توضیح
If you use a nuclear bomb, it brings responsibility. Everyone will know you did it.
True.
Cyber operations, modern methods. You can do things without ever accepting responsibility. Central nervous agents? Yeah, well, there's a lot of it. Biological warfare. And cyber warfare are important by their use for the U.S. military.
It
requires the approval of U.S.
President. دومی در آمریکا سلاح سایبری، سلاح جنگ سایبری، نه بدافزار، نه سلاح جنگ، مثل استفاده نه. یعنی باید رئیس جمهور آمریکا اینو امضا کنه تا استفاده کنی. چون ممکن طرف مقابل هم تو استفاده کنه.
He's saying the president has to sign on for any kind of big cyber attack.
بکنه بعد بیچاره میشی.
Or nuclear attack. For nuclear attack, it's true.
انگهای نوظهور. کاری میکنه که تو مسئولیت هم بکنه. شما میتونی؟ این کاریه که شده ها 10 سال
saying there's forms of warfare where you don't have to take responsibility. Yeah, a lot of economic warfare.
That's the result of this. بعد از استکس شما میتونید با بعد از اون حمله سایبری بلایی بیاری سر طرف که
He's using example of Stuxnet.
دروغش منفجر شه نه از جنس هیروشیما بمب چرک آلوده میکنه کل منطقه رو. این کار شده بر اساس سند بیرون اومد یه کسی که اسمش
He's talking about basically sabotaging power plants and all kinds of things like that. And you can do some nasty stuff with cyber warfare. I mean, Iran has been attacked with all kinds of cyber warfare. And they are apparently ramping up their own cyber warfare efforts. But we haven't seen them shut down power plants or blow up power plants or blow up Jewish power plants or anything like that with cyber warfare. I don't think. Yet.
I want the American people.
See what our girl Anna's doing. I haven't played Anna in a minute. I tagged this clip. We'll see what she has to say. Top Israel admits he nuked the Iranian peace deal, of course. I expect them to keep nuking. It doesn't mean there's not going to be a ceasefire for a few days so they can put together a plan to invade Iran or whatever type of debacle they're planning next.
I want the American people to understand who their masters are, who they are slaves to. That ugly gentleman that you see right next to me, that's your master. That's the guy who actually governs the country. Ben Gavir, a literal terrorist in Israel, when the Israelis were in absolute fear that there might be a peace deal. Can you imagine? Here's what he said.
Israel cannot allow this to happen, but this is a bad agreement. This is an agreement that can harm the state of Israel, and we will not allow this to happen.
Then they'll turn around and call us anti-Semites for saying that Israel controls our government. But how are you going to deny it when members of the Israeli government say that they control our government?
He's one of the top three officials in Israel and definitely sets policy. And if his faction leaves, Netanyahu wouldn't have a government that's been...
Now, I mean, if YouTube goes down, you'll know why. YouTube may have went down. YouTube go down already? May have went down for playing the Tucker Carlson clips or something. YouTube... Absolutely. Hold on here. Let me do something here. Yeah, that's the only bad thing about YouTube. YouTube is somewhat of a waste of time because it's always hammering things. I mean, absolutely hammering things. Automatically removes stuff, automatically removes comments. It's like totally crazy. Oh, YouTube restricted live streaming for the channel. Okay. All right. I might be down for a while. Okay. So, guys, YouTube restricted live streaming for the channel. Let's see here. You have the option to take a quick 7-question before it expires. They want me to take a YouTube training. This is kind of funny. Nonetheless, rip YouTube. Okay. I've done too many. I've violated too much. But you can't really play anything
been true for years. So that gives Ben Kavir and Smotrich complete power. But then on top of that, so what actually happened on the ground? Well, Israel said they would not allow this agreement to happen, and it didn't happen. And we went back into war. Israel bombed Lebanon. We bombed Iran. Israel got exactly what they wanted. They said, who the hell do you think you are? You think you run your own country? No, it is not good for Israel. So we will ban America from doing it.
I want the American people to understand who they're...
Okay. So the Young Turks are doing Young Turk things. Is Anna a communist? Who said that? Kitty Waffy? I don't think she's a communist, but I don't know. We're just watching her on Israel. I'm not really worried about her running our economy or running my life or anything like that. At least not yet. This is pretty crazy. Check out the video of the explosion at Complex 36. Now, this was the actual Blue Origin launch. Check out this explosion. This is the billionaire behind Amazon that, of course, backed Blue Origin. These billionaires and their space companies. Let me get my head out of the way. Oh, it's out of the way. You guys can watch this. This is a wicked explosion. Now, this is a big setback because he wants to compete with SpaceX and Elon Musk. There's no sound, but maybe one of the larger explosions I've seen in a long time. It's pretty spectacular if you think about it. It's quite an explosion. It's one hell of an explosion. Let's see here again. You guys can see that. Wow. I wonder if anyone got killed. I didn't even read. I don't even know the facts on that one. It's unbelievable. One of the largest explosions I've seen in a long time. Has America been secretly working on zero-point energy weapons since the end of the World War II? They mentioned Nazis in this, one of you guys said? Hold on, let's play this. Let's see if I agree with anything they're saying. Hopefully this isn't conspiratard stuff. I could be wrong, though. That's a big hope. Hope and cope are only a letter away.
I want to jump ahead to a video of one of these scientists before we dissect that whole situation. Because when I...
Oh, is this Elizondo? Is this the former CIA UFO guy?
I saw this. I thought that this woman was an alcoholic, maybe had a drug problem. By the way, maybe she did. She's saying some of the craziest shit I've ever heard in my entire life to the point that I was like, oh, she's mentally ill. She's a drug addict. And it turns out, I'm going to play that clip in just a moment, but to preface this for everybody before they watch it, turns out that she is a, quote, polymath, which means, hang on, where are my notes on her? Just a second. Here we go. A double major in chemistry and biology with a mastery of electrical engineering and physics. She was the co-founder of the Institute for Exotic Science in Huntsville, Alabama, which is called Rocket City. It's known as the heart of the aerospace defense world. It's also arguably, and Luke, correct me if I'm wrong, where Project Paperclip began. So German scientists, 16 of them, that were brought over after World War II to work on exotic physics were taken, including anti-gravity, I don't even know what this is, zero-point energy. All of their projects were swiftly classified as black budget in the defense industry. Her and her father worked on anti-gravity technology.
Okay, hold on here.
In post. She was being harassed, as mentioned by defense. They were put in a microwave, which will pop in here in post. You see
sounds
any
like
report
bullshit.
That I killed contractors, and she explicitly said...
This is Werner Von Braun. This is what I was kind of interested in. See what they say about Werner.
Harassed, as mentioned by defense contractors, and she explicitly said, if you see any report that I killed myself, I most definitely did not. Guys, can we throw up SOT 3, please?
The ultra-terrestrials, I think, have you heard of the P-52s and the P-47s? Do you know?
Yeah, this is retard-level bullshit stuff. There's so much of this whistleblower bullshit stuff online. They got a former CIA guy, but... This is mainstream now. It's all the retard conspiracy stuff. And I just want to, whatever they plan on doing, hope they do it. just so we can get it over with, because they're not going to stop. They're going to use it for something. Just curious on what they're going to use it for. I don't think anyone of them, you'd have to do something so outrageous to get people's attention. I don't even think they'd be willing to do that. But everyone's tuning this stuff out. This stuff that used to get a lot of views now barely gets any. Everyone just yawns and says it's fake. So what are they going to use it for? Silent weapons for quiet wars? Yeah, they definitely, Israel is reported to have scalar weapons. All the large countries are reported to have scalar weapons of some type. What they have and how they are going to use it, well, you know. We don't know. It's a subject matter for lots of speculation. Zombie fillers, the super rich are plumping themselves up with dead people's fat. They're doing a lot of weird stuff. As far as cosmetic surgeries, breaking bones. You know. But this is pretty wild. Zombie fillers, using dead people's skin, so on and so forth. Recycling organs. It's been around a while, though. You know? But plumping themselves up with dead people's fat. What a headline. But there was a big report out about Putin's $26 billion quest for longevity. From mini pigs and organ printing, which is kind of cool. Create your own heart. You need a new heart. Organ print. To cryotherapy and genetics, Russia's president has turned anti-aging research into Kremlin priority. He's going to create super Russian soldiers? $26 billion. I'm sure the U.S. is spending more than that on weird shit. Stuff a lot weirder, actually. Remember the hot mic moment last September when Putin told Xi humans could achieve immortality by replacing their organs? Turns out he wasn't musing. He was describing an actual Kremlin flagship project. 3D print human tissues, growing transplantable organs inside genetically compatible mini pigs, cryotherapy chambers that drop to minus 170 degrees, and a new gene therapy designed to slow cellular aging. The staged goal is full human organ transplanting by 2030? Oh my God. What does that mean? How difficult is it going to be to transplant organs, though? They're going to have robots do it? Can you imagine the Russian clinic for organ transplants, 2030? Oh, man. Speaking of the times of Noah, it puts Putin in the same race as Silicon Valley titans like Bezos, Altman, and Thiel, who are pouring fortunes into beating aging. The difference is that Russia and the pursuit of immortality is now an official state priority, led in part by Putin's own daughter, an endocrinologist. At 73, Putin has spent decades projecting the image of an ageless strongman. Now he's learning just how far he's willing to go. Well, curious. What do they have behind the scenes? I have a feeling they're not going to roll out any cures to any disease, although it would be funny if the Russians did it. It would be a carrot and a stick type of thing. You got to get into our new society, our new cashless society, and do all kinds of crazy stuff. Take all our vaccines. It'd be something. There's going to be strings attached. They're not giving out cures for anything. So, yeah, longevity science is pretty big, but how far can they go? You know, how far can they actually go and you know, extending life? And would you want to be alive, you know, beyond a certain point? Winners and losers, Spielberg's UFO clash. They're talking about Spielberg's UFO movie is the best movie he's done in 20 years. That's not saying anything, though. And they're saying it's a lead up to some type of more UFO propaganda. Well, It usually is. So. But. Do I need a co-host? I probably could use two or three co-hosts on any given day. But typically I just have guests on the show. But not really. Mostly I just do solo shows. When's the last time any of you guys have seen any Steven Spielberg movies? Saying this is going to be some big deal?
I can see you.
I am much more inclined now than I was when I made Close Encounters to really believe that we're not the only intelligent civilization in the universe.
What did you steal?
Secrets. People have a right to know the truth.
This is a story about us. All of us.
Now, just so you know, Trump, the White House, I guess it's not necessarily Trump, but someone at the White House opened up an aliens.gov, and it's basically all about illegal aliens, which is kind of funny.
Good morning, Kansas City.
Up against the most extraordinary event in human history.
What's happening to me? I'm frightened out of my wits.
You don't need to be. You have someone else.
Daniel Keller.
Who is this?
Do not go back to the house. They found you. I don't know who you are, but they're gonna kill you.
The human race cannot accept what we know. We need to stop it any way we can.
What am I doing?
This reminds me of an X-File episode from long, long ago.
This semi-9-year cover-up of the truth has to end.
We're interrupting our coverage.
How will disclosure change us? I believe for the better. It will remind us of our capacity for empathy and that there is something bigger out there than just ourselves.
Yeah, just what we need, more empathy. And more whites carrying. They're bringing animals in. What are these aliens inside animals?
Out there, and just ourselves.
The only way to know your purpose is to go back to where it all began.
I know you.
To us.
I used to say to myself, wouldn't it be wonderful if all of this turned out to be true? I'm now thinking, wouldn't it be wonderful for people to know all of this is true?
Okay, so it's the Greys. This is E.T. Phone Home. Not E.T. Phone Home. Close Encounters of the Third Kind. Okay, so they're enlisting Steven Spielberg. That's what the hubbub is over, is that clip. They're kind of trying to blend real stories with propaganda. They're going to try to push this off. I mean, who's going to believe this type of thing? Land the shit, roll out the little gray dudes or little remote controlled from the Rothschild bunkers or whatever. Aliens might be real, but the Holocaust is totally fake. Yeah, that's where we're heading on this one, right? Space is fake and gay. Well, I have a feeling it's real. But this is kind of an interesting... Actually, out of all the things I've seen lately that I can see people doing for extra money, this is one of them. I don't know how complicated it is. We're going to watch this. Oh, they have something in my eye. But basically, NVIDIA is paying people $1,000 or so per month to put a little AI. They're doing AI. Well, hold on. Let's watch it. I don't know if I can explain it. It's a mini AI data center on your house. It looks like a normal AC unit in the yard. But inside sits 16 NVIDIA Blackwell GPUs and Dell servers. A startup called Span builds them, backed by NVIDIA. They bolt onto your home, and you get paid for the power and Wi-Fi. Some estimates put around $1,000 a month in your pocket. sounds pretty crazy. But they're saying this is a lot cheaper and more effective than data centers, and it won't piss people off. Could be true.
So this mini AI data center is designed to be installed outside your home. A startup called Span has partnered with NVIDIA to deploy what they call distributed data centers on residential homes and small businesses. Each box runs NVIDIA's liquid-cooled RTX Pro 6000 Blackwell GPUs, designed to operate silently while tapping into unused electrical capacity that already is on the local grid. Span says it can install 8,000 of these units 6 times faster, at 1/5 the cost of building a comparable 100-megawatt data center. And the demand is urgent. U.S. data centers consumed over 4% of America's electricity in 2024, which is a number that could more than double by 2030. Meanwhile, traditional data centers can take over a decade to build, with some projects waiting years just for grid approval. The homeowners who host the boxes get a premium smart electrical panel, battery backup, and discounted rates on electricity and internet. Span is already working with one of America's largest home builders to test the system out in new communities. Whether neighborhoods will actually embrace these mini data centers remains to be seen, but it's definitely a creative solution to a very complex.
Data centers up the wazoo. What is Russia doing with data centers? Because Russia and China are doing near as many as we are. What'd you guys say? Would you guys have this put on your house? Most of you guys would not trust it. I don't know how many people are going to trust this stuff for $1,000 a month. I don't know. Yeah, there's some problems in Western U.S. There's problems in Virginia, West Virginia. There's problems everywhere with these data centers because there's so many going in all at once. The big one I think is Wyoming or Montana that makes the press all the time, but there's others. There's protests nonstop over the data centers. Now they're building personal data centers. Well, what they're doing, instead of building one giant data center and catching so much flack, they're just going to pay people to put these at their houses and tap into unused energy. Don't know how it's going to work. Now they're going to try to, I guess, port us all into the cyber world. They're going to use it to try to control us, our digital bodies. But I appreciate you guys tuning in. I'll be getting off now. I'll be on Sunday at the usual time. And we'll see what's happening then. We have a lot more to cover. Don't know what's going on with the war other than Donald Trump is, they're doing some type of ceasefire for a minute here. You know, I held off on the smart meter installation until it was forced. Yeah, I hear you on that. No one trusts anyone in power. That's the way it's going to be. I don't know what they can do to gain trust. Something amazing and huge, I guess. But anyways, guys, have a safe weekend, and I'll be back. Well, you guys, I can't do much on YouTube. It looks like they give me a formal strike, so I got 3 strikes. So I'm not going to stream to them for a while. You can watch on Odyssey, you can watch on Rumble, you can watch on X. So that's how it goes. There's no point in pushing it. I don't know why they decided to give me a strike now over any other time, but we'll have to see. Nonetheless, guys, cheers. I'll save it for a rainy day when I have to stream to YouTube. They're not allowing playing other content at all because I was... Well, not on Tucker stuff, I don't guess. I was playing it straight through. But anyways, guys, I'll be back on Sunday. And you guys watching on YouTube, no more YouTube for a minute. It is what it is. They gave me a strike. But cheers, guys. Stay tuned and stay safe.